Hey guys, turkey season is in full swing right now, and if you are planning on getting after it, make sure to pick up some Meat Eater Phelps turkey calls to stuff into the old turkey vest or into your fanny pack right now. I carry a few different things. I like to use mouth calls, and I like to use pot calls. Mouth calls or diaphragms, I like them because it gives you hand-free calling, meaning when you're working a bird up close, you can have your gun on your knee, finger on the trigger, ready to roll, and still be making turkey sounds. I like pot calls because I just like pot calls. I enjoy calling with a pot call. Whatever direction you go, including a box call, which I don't personally use too much, but they're fun and great, and I started out with them. Yanni, on the other hand, one of my main turkey hunting buddies, he loves box calls. And what's funny is I'll now and then look to him and give him the look that means get out your box call and find us a turkey. So it's not that I don't like him. I just have Yanni use his. Then I don't have to carry it. Go to Phelps Game Calls. Get calls that are made in the USA and get calls that'll get them close. Find yours at PhelpsGameCalls.com today.
It's a Meat Eater podcast.
Welcome to Meat Eater Trivia, the only game show where conservation always wins. I'm your host, Spencer Newharth, and today we're joined by Yanis Poutelis, Brody Henderson, Randall Williams, Christine Sawicki, Ryan Callahan, and Hillary Byrne. Now, Hillary, this is your first time on the show, so tell folks what you do here at Meat Eater.
Nickname, Feel the Burn.
And Chester Floyd.
Oh, and Chester. Chester, I'm sorry, you were a late addition to the show because we had someone else drop out. We're also joined by Chester Floyd, but now we're going to hear from Hillary about
what she
does here at Meat Eater.
Hi, everyone. Hillary here.
AKA Feel the Burn.
I am the director of post-production here at Meat Eater, so it's fun.
Now, Hillary, I don't want to put any extra pressure on you, but you're like the most requested Meat Eater employee who had to be on the show. Yanis texted me about it a few weeks ago. He brought it up again this morning. He says, hey, when is Hillary going to play? I also got an Instagram DM from your neighbor saying, why hasn't Hillary been on the show now? So here we are.
Well, that is because I know I will not be very good at this.
You don't think so?
Come on, crush it.
All right.
Now, Hillary, this is a 10-round quiz show with questions from Meat Eater's four verticals, which are hunting, fishing, conservation, and cooking. And there is a prize. Meat Eater will donate $500 to the conservation organization of the winner's choosing. And for the stat of the week this week, we're looking at the number 600. Yanis, do you know why the number 600 might be significant?
Not at all.
600 is the number of questions that the suits here at Meat Eater asked me to make for the Meat Eater Trivia board game. And I said, suits, I don't think that's enough. So I didn't make 600. I didn't make 700. I made 800 questions for the Meat Eater Trivia board game.
Wow.
That's right.
Going the extra mile, Spencer.
Extra mile. Listen, and I was actually going to go up to 1,000 questions, but the factory finally stepped in and told me they couldn't fit another card in the box. So we settled at 800, that's what you'll get when the board game comes out this fall.
So that would be 80 games?
80 games. We have 750 are regular questions and 50 are tiebreaker questions. So it could support 75 games with 50 of those going to a tiebreaker.
Are any of the questions in the board game ones that... like you're asking us now before the board game comes out?
Some of them have been on the show and some of them are brand new. And here's my vow to people who buy the game. I will not use any of the brand new questions on the show ever. So when you buy this and you get these hundreds of questions that you've never heard before on the show, they will stay in there. That's just for you. As for those questions that have been on the show, you know, we've learned, Chester, doing this 0%er question of the week, that people don't retain a lot of this information after the show is over. So I think they'll find it even fun to hear some of those again.
Yeah.
I think it's a good mix. That's a good strategy, Spencer.
Thank you. Now, here is our 0%er question of the week, which tests how much our players have retained from previous games. This question was from episode 370. The topic was woodsmanship, and nobody got it right. What is the phenomenon related to hypothermia victims in which bodies are found either partially or completely
paradoxal
undressed?
Undressing.
Now, Brody, why didn't you have that answer the day we played?
Because it was just like, I knew it, but it was not breaking through the wall.
It came to you so cleanly today,
yeah,
but not last time. Now, the correct answer
I'll never forget it again.
Was paradoxical undressing. The incorrect answers given were tripping, hysteria, and hyper-hot.
Tripping.
Interesting stat for you, too. The Montana hunter safety video that they still play that involves paradoxical undressing. It's a fly fishing guy going up.
They'd find people and think they were victims of sexual abuse. They couldn't figure it out. You know, they'd find
not as much of a fun fact from Brody.
I'm just telling you, like, they didn't know what it was. There was a time when they didn't know what was going on.
Now, Cal, you said they still play this video. Is it the one you think you watched when you were like 11 years old?
Absolutely. Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I met the dude who's in it. And it was, I think, a University of Montana project, like collaboration with FWP. But I think that video is like in a lot of curriculum still. But it's, I think, somebody's fly fishing up and they fall in, they fill their waders. And it's like a nice spring, summer-ish day. And the more they walk, the more they get disoriented and hijinks ensue.
So when you watch that video in Hunter Safety, know that Cal watched the same one.
That's right.
Now, for the housekeeping portion of today's show, I'm going to throw it to Phil, who has a PSA for us about show glitches. Phil, we sometimes get feedback from people saying the show skipped or cut off a few minutes early, and it doesn't seem to be limited to just Meat Eater trivia or just one platform.
Yeah, so I think this kind of started happening when we switched to a different ad sort of process and production called dynamic ad insertion, which is something that a lot of podcasts use these days, where the ads will update and refresh based on your location or how many times a certain ad has played or what the network thinks you might be interested in. And because of that, the file that we put online is constantly there's different ads being plugged in and taken out and removed. So when you're listening to a podcast and it skips ahead 15 seconds or skips back 20 seconds and you're thinking, oh, must be you send me or Spencer an angry DM saying, get your shit together.
Mm-hmm. Mad at Phil, mad at Hayden.
Yeah, that's right. That's just because I think the file will sometimes just change in the middle and it'll change the length of the file and your player doesn't really know how to react to that. So it just kind of jumps around. The way to fix that is to download the file. So if you're just the kind of person who just hits the play button on your podcast player and listens to it without downloading the file onto your phone's hard drive, that'll open it up to maybe skipping around. But if you just download the file, every podcast player has an option to download it. That audio file is baked onto your phone or your computer hard drive or whatever and can't change, and it won't skip around anymore. So
you're saying user error. If you hit play, you're signing up for convenience, not quality.
That's right. Thank you, Cal.
And we've tested this on a number of phones. It seems to always fix the problem. Now, the iHeart download icon is a cloud with a down arrow. The Spotify download icon is a circle with a down arrow. For iTunes, you hit the three little buttons that trigger a drop-down menu, and then the first result is a download episode. Should solve any show glitch problems. Now, the Shelby Index for today's round is a 4, so our winner should get 8 correct answers. And with that, we're on to the game of trivia. Play the drop, Phil.
Look, I need to know what I stand to win.
Everything.
How's that?
You stand to win everything.
Game on, suckers!
Question 1. The topic is hunting. Which of these states killed the most whitetails between 2014 and 2018? Is it Missouri, Illinois, Oklahoma, or Nebraska? Which of these states killed the most whitetails between 2014 and 2018? Your four choices are Missouri, Illinois, Oklahoma, and Nebraska. Yanni, how many of those places?
Four choices.
Missouri, Illinois, Oklahoma, Nebraska. How many of those places have you hunted deer, Yanni?
I've hunted deer in one of those places, Nebraska.
Missouri, Illinois, Oklahoma, Nebraska. Does everybody have an answer?
No. Does everybody else
Who's
have
doing
one?
Artwork on the back of these things?
It's a mix of a lot of folks. My wife and I did a lot. We had
Hayden, a little arts and crafts time.
Took them home
at the new hearth home.
Mm-hmm. Took them home, got not sober, and then we doodled on the back for an evening.
Nice, that's awesome. Who did the pizza?
That would be my wife.
Wow, Shelby, good
and
job.
And that artwork, Cal, you're going to see that artwork in Meat Eater Trivia board game. The game comes with 7 whiteboards, and we wanted them to look like they came straight from the Meat Eater studio. So our graphics guy, Hunter Spencer, pulled these graphics literally from the back of our whiteboards that we play on, and they're now on the back of the whiteboards that you'll get in the board game.
God, is this board game going to be available anywhere? How can I purchase it?
Meat Eater's store coming this fall.
There'll be a lot of Suck It Brodies on there.
Go ahead and reveal your answer. We have Christine saying Illinois, Chester saying Illinois, Brody saying Missouri, Hillary saying Nebraska, Cal saying Missouri, Randall saying Illinois, Giannis saying Illinois.
I feel like they're all good answers.
The correct answer is Missouri. Brody got it right. Cal got it right. At 6th in the nation, Missouri is the only state from that list that's in the top 10 for whitetail harvest. The 5 ahead of Missouri are Texas, Georgia, Michigan, Pennsylvania, and Wisconsin. Those other 3 states, Illinois, Oklahoma, and Nebraska, are places you can watch the Element crew chase whitetails on their new show, Buck Truck. New episodes are on Meat Eater's YouTube channel right now.
We got to talk about what's going on here right now. Like, I feel Randall Williams in this like downward spiral.
Just gonna say it.
And he's been such a consistent winner.
Mm-hmm.
He's got 1 loss here, and it's crushing him.
Yeah. I wish you could see his face.
It's not good energy right now.
Randall started off the last game 5 for 5, and then I think he ended. How many did you have right? 7 at the
Eight.
End. 8.
Yeah,
couldn't quite pull it off.
But not
starts
good
off
enough.
Cold here.
I mean, he had such a disappointed look on his face after that last question. I smiled at him, and there was no.
As
any
we
sort
know,
of emotion back.
As the stats prove, mm-hmm. it's hard to recover from that.
Although, it's an important question.
Yeah,
from that first one. Question.
It's been done, though. It's been done.
I'm sure it's
very
been done.
Recently by...
Yours truly?
Yours truly.
Question 2. The topic is conservation. This next great question comes to us via Adele Tabor. Adele asked for a shout out to the Mississippi State Wildlife Society Club. They won the Southeastern Conclave this year, so big congrats to them. Here is Adele's question. What does CRP stand for? What does CRP stand for? Looks like Randall and Brody and Giannis are going to get this one right. Brody looks confident. Chester looks like he has a chance.
Are there hints in this game?
Well, yeah, it's an acronym.
Okay, thank you.
So just sound it out.
Okay.
Yeah, the topic is conservation. This came to us via a Mississippi State Wildlife Society Club member, if that helps you at all. What does CRP stand for?
Chester, dude. Your family is probably...
I know
probably,
that. We have CRP.
I can't say anything more. Someone's going to get me.
Yep.
Hillary, how you doing over there?
I got something.
You have a chance? Okay. Chester, are you good?
No, I'm so upset.
The last time I saw you this upset was when we had the Stop Aquatic Hitchhikers acronym that I think really tore you up, Chester. We were looking for clean, drain,
this
dry.
This is not right.
You were quite bummed.
Yeah.
Christine, are you ready?
Yep.
Go ahead and reveal your answers. We have Christine without an answer. Chester saying Conservation Restoration Project. Brody saying Conservation Reserve Program. Hillary saying Conservation Research Program.
Very close, Hillary. Ryan saying
Conservation Reserve Program. Randall saying Conservation Reserve Program. Giannis saying the same thing. They got it right. The correct answer is Conservation Reserve Program. Congress introduced CRP in 1985 when it passed the Farm Bill. It was created because of concerns about decreased wildlife habitat and increased soil erosion. There are about 20 million acres enrolled in CRP, making it one of the largest private land conservation programs in America.
Doesn't that number...
Including some of Chester's family's
doesn't
property.
Doesn't that number fluctuate very...
It does. And I think they keep the cap, like right now it's around 30 million and they're not at their cap. In the early days, the cap was like 40 million and they never hit it.
But it has a lot to do with like
enrollment.
Enrollment and doesn't like grain prices and things like that.
Crop prices are a big part.
Yeah. Commodities are a big deal, right? Because folks are trying to get cash out of the ground.
Mm-hmm.
And as those commodities swing, it becomes more tempting to swing into like a corn or a grain or whatever. But the CRP program, which is redundant, CRP, is in the Farm Bill. Another great example as to why the Farm Bill matters to you, hunters.
Question three. The topic is cooking. Bon Appetit defines this liquid as what you get when you simmer bones that still have meat on them in water. Again, the topic is cooking. Bon Appetit defines this liquid as what you get when you simmer bones that still have meat on them in water.
For the first time ever, I was asked this question just last week.
Weird.
Yeah.
And did you get it right?
I didn't care.
Okay.
So I didn't pay attention at all.
So you don't think it's even going to help you here?
No, okay. Not at all.
Again, Bon Appetit defines this liquid as what you get when you simmer bones that still have meat on them in water. Is anybody confident in their answer?
I'm leaving mine the way it is.
Most folks look like they have a shot, but nobody's like, yep, I got this one.
Literally. So what's the difference? I'm like,
you're helping some folks out.
It's all right. I mean, it's just a game.
That's right.
You know?
Yanni, how we doing over here?
Not for Randall. It's not just a game.
I've had a catastrophic eraser failure over here.
Here's the deal. Conservation always wins, so I'm a happy camper in this room.
Yanni, how we doing?
Not great.
I think we're kind of waiting on
ideas.
You.
I've got some ideas. Am I running out of time?
Well, it looks like we're waiting on you.
I think it's all right to go a little longer now and then.
Brody's ahead by one.
This is question three.
I feel like everyone needs a little extra time now and then.
Brody, you're being a nice guy today.
Well, you know.
Son of a buck.
All right, now he's running out of time, Spencer. All right,
let's go. Let's go.
Go ahead and reveal your answers. We have Christine saying bone broth. Chester saying bone broth. Brody saying consommé. Hillary saying stock. Ryan saying bone broth. Randall saying broth. Yanni saying au jus. The correct answer is broth. If you said bone broth, we'll give it to you as well. You can have that.
What's the difference between...
I thought for sure I had that wrong.
Name from
the
a fancy
key
restaurant,
difference
right?
between a stock it's and a broth cheap. Is that stock is made with bones, while broth is made with bones and meat. Both can include other ingredients like veggies, mushrooms, and herbs and spices, but a broth is the only one that has meat in it. They say that for most recipes that call for stock or broth, the two are interchangeable.
Here's why this is bullshit, heart? Bon Appetit. Where do you go to find completely meatless bones?
It's tough. If you wanted to argue that,
there's not
I'm
an
sure
argument.
You...
Where do you go? Name one place.
Both of those.
I want
correct?
Completely meatless bones.
Shave it all off.
So broth has
have your dog
the meat.
Shoot on them for stock half a day. Right. That'd be meatless. Yeah.
Question four, the topic is fishing. This is our listener question the of the cemetery. Week, which was won by Don Hansberger for sending this great question. Don is going to win a book signed by Steve. This was declared America's founding fish because it fed George Washington's army while they were camped on a Delaware River tributary.
I already have a problem.
Okay. This was declared America's founding fish because it fed George Washington's army while they were camped on a Delaware River tributary.
I know exactly what this is. Totally,
to be totally specific, if you think the answer is black lab, you could just say Labrador.
It's not a fish.
I don't.
That's a hint.
So.
This was declared America's founding fish because it fed George Washington's army while they were camped on a Delaware River tributary. Do you still have a problem with this question?
Now I have even more.
Really?
Oh, boy.
Okay.
Oh, boy.
I can see the fire in his eyes.
This might be Spencer's last game, folks.
The last time we had a big fallout was the Marlin Sailfish.
Yep, answer. Thinking that kind of direction. Just keep the right direction.
Just keep the fish questions coming.
Does everybody have an answer?
Yeah.
I like to just leave them all on there and then cross out your previous.
Go ahead and reveal your answer. We have Christine saying catfish, Chester saying shad, Brody saying shad, Hillary saying perch, Ryan saying shad, Randall saying shad, Giannis saying shad. They got it. The correct answer is shad.
There's a very specific type of shad that fed his army, mister.
So, American shad is what they say. But if you read some accounts, they'll all say that that's also when hickory shad would have been running the river. So when they call something...
They weren't eating gizzard shad.
When they call something America's founding fish, they're talking about American shad, but as for the shad run that happened, some say they were probably hickory shad there as well.
All right, then.
Washington's army was camped at Valley Forge in the winter of 1778 during a food shortage. Soldiers would often go days without eating, leaving the army on the brink of starvation. But that all changed when shad started migrating up the Delaware River in biblical proportions. According to legend, the soldiers netted thousands of pounds of shad, which got them through their winter famine.
Excavated shad bones at Valley Forge.
Really?
Camp. Yep.
That's fun.
They got a lot of those shad.
Yeah, a lot of bones.
Question five. The topic is woodsmanship. Name one of the three states with the most fatal snake bites since the year 2000. Name one of the three states with the most fatal snake bites since the year 2000.
Fatal.
Wow.
Room is slow to answer this one. Look torn. Again, topic is woodsmanship. Name one of the three states with the most fatal snake bites since the year 2000. Hillary with the quickest answer. Hillary, are you going to get this
one
right?
One out of how many? Did you say?
Three.
One out of three states since
there's
year
only
2000.
48 states in contention, so.
Do they, probably can't answer this, humans or dog
fatalities?
Yeah,
it's humans. It's not, not cottontail rabbits.
Would that change your answer?
No. I was just curious.
Kangaroo rats.
How do you feel about your answer, Chester? You have a chance?
Yeah, I probably have a chance. It's a guess, but.
Cal, are you satisfied with your answer?
No, I'm not. Playing math.
Christine, are you ready?
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead and reveal your answer. We have Christine saying Texas, Chester saying Florida, Brody saying
like Florida.
Arizona, Hillary saying New Mexico.
That's a bad guess.
Cal saying Texas, Randall saying Texas, Giannis saying Texas. The three states are Georgia, Texas, and Florida.
Wow. Chester.
Georgia is first in America with six fatal snake bites in the last 23 years. That's followed by Texas with five and Florida with four. Ooh. Kentucky actually led the nation in fatal snake bites in the 1990s with three such events. In each instance, the victim was handling the snake during a religious service. Melinda Brown was killed by a rattlesnake during a snake handling service in 1995. Her husband, John Wayne Brown, died the same exact way 3 years later.
Man, I feel like when you're talking about single digits,
that's so low.
Yeah,
I know.
That's not really that significant, no matter what state it is.
Just goes to show you.
Well,
if you
now
get
keep
bit,
in mind this is reported.
That.
Yeah, right. I would claim there's a lot of unreported in New Mexico.
Phil, we are halfway through the game of trivia. Give us a scoreboard update.
But it's like one of the least populated states. So that's
the.
Feel the burn.
We've got Hillary with 0 points in last place, right in the caboose. We've got Christine coming up next with 2 points. Giannis, Chester, and Brody all have 3 points. Randall has four. Ryan Callahan is in first place with a perfect game.
Wow.
5 points.
Wow.
Whoa.
Okay. It's happened last game, too.
Looking for the perfect gift to celebrate the moms in your life? Aura frames are beautiful Wi-Fi connected digital picture frames that allow you to share and display unlimited photos. These things are super cool as a gift. especially if you got mom, aunt, grandma, whoever, and you want to like keep them up to speed on what the family's up to, okay? It's easy to upload and share photos via the Aura app. And if you're giving an Aura as a gift, you can even personalize the frame with pre-loaded photos and memories. Named the best digital picture frame by Wirecutter and selected as one of Oprah's favorite things, Aura frames are guaranteed to bring joy to moms of all ages. You can share photos to the frame instantly from anywhere, meaning you share videos, photos from any device, and they will instantly appear on the frame, wherever it is in the world. There's no memory card required. Right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. That's AuraFrames.com. Use code MeatEater at checkout to save. Terms and conditions apply. O'Reilly Auto Parts are in the business of keeping your car on the road. O'Reilly Auto Parts offer friendly, helpful service and the parts knowledge you need for all your maintenance and repairs. If you're confused about what part you need, like what wipers are going to be the best, what replacement headlights are going to be the best, go into O'Reilly and talk to the people that work there because they're great and they're super friendly and they'll get you squared away where you walk out knowing you got the right thing. They've got thousands of parts and accessories in stock, either in-store or online, so you never have to worry if you're in a jam. Do you need your windshield wipers replaced? You need a brake light fixed? You need some quick service? They'll help you find the right part or point you to the nearest local repair shop for help. The professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts are your one-stop shop for all things auto do-it-yourself, and you can find what you need in-store or online. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit us at O'ReillyAuto.com/MeatEater. That's O'ReillyAuto.com/MeatEater. Hey, man, after years of fine print contracts and getting ripped off by overpriced wireless providers, if you've learned anything, it's that there is always a catch. So, when I heard that for a limited time, all Mint Mobile wireless plans are $15 a month when you purchase a three-month plan, I thought, well, what's the catch? But it turns out, there isn't one. Mint Mobile's secret sauce is that they sell wireless service online. They cut out the cost of retail stores and pass those sweet savings directly to you. Ditch overpriced wireless with Mint Mobile's limited time deal and get 3 months of premium wireless service for $15 a month. To get this new customer offer and your new 3 month unlimited wireless plan for just $15 a month, go to mintmobile.com/meateater. That's mintmobile.com/meateater. Cut your wireless bill to $15 a month at mintmobile.com/meateater.
$45 upfront payment required, equivalent to $15 per month. New customers on first 3 month plan only. Speeds slower above 40 gigabytes on unlimited plan. Additional taxes, fees, and restrictions apply. See Mint Mobile for details.
Question six. The topic is public lands. This next great question comes to us via Nathan Ron. If you have a question you think is right for Meat Eater Trivia, you can send it to trivia@themeateater.com. What federal agency manages national seashores and national lakeshores? What federal agency manages national seashores and national lakeshores? Brody with the quickest answer in the room. Brody, are you confident?
Kind of, yeah.
You just had a gut feeling. Yeah. Didn't know it, though. Again, what federal agency manages national seashores and national lakeshores? Randall, you also had a quick answer. Do you think you have this one?
I have it two in mind.
Mm. Has anybody visited a national seashore or national lakeshore that they're aware of?
I think there's one on Padre Island in Texas.
I think that's going to help you?
It's not going to change my answer.
Isn't Chincoteague Island, is that one?
Yanni, how
that's
we doing
a hard
over
one
here?
To spell.
There's a lot of wild horses there.
You're going to have a good guess.
Does everybody have an answer?
No, I do not.
You know that
Chester,
line, if wishes were ponies, we'd have a lot of dog food?
Say that again, Cal.
If wishes were ponies, we'd have a lot of dog food.
Do we not have a lot of dog food?
Well, it's...
We'd have more.
We would have more.
Okay. Chester, how we doing?
Not good.
Christine?
Terrible there, Cal. Terrible.
Are we ready?
I have a.
What's terrible is unregulated wild horses destroyed.
I agree with you. Hillary, how we doing?
I'm good. I don't know. Maybe.
Go ahead and reveal your answers. We have Christine saying DNR, Chester saying Department of Natural Resources, Brody saying National Park Service, Hillary saying National Park Service, Cal saying BOR, Randall saying National Park Service, Giannis saying BLM. The correct answer is National Park Service. Yeah. Throws Cal's perfect game out the window. The National Seashore System was established in the 1930s, and the National Lakeshore System became an extension of that in the 1960s. There are 10 national seashores and 4 national lakeshores. The goal of these areas is to create places for public recreation and protect them from development. Question 7. The topic is wildlife. This is a visual question. If you want to see what the room is seeing, then go to Instagram and check out at Spencer Newharth. I'll make it my most recent post. Now I'm going to show the room a 30-second clip that was used to promote a 1996 documentary. Here's the prompt. The suit this man is wearing was designed to withstand an attack from what animal?
To prove his theory that the suit does in fact work, Kurt Ubiz risked his life and put it through test after test. First, he shot the suit with a 12-gauge shotgun. Then he launched a 300-pound log dead center towards his chest. Is that dedication or is he simply nuts? And if that's not crazy enough, he had a 3-ton truck ram right into him at a speed of 30 miles per hour.
Oh my God.
Well, he was having so much fun, he decided to toss himself down a ravine. All this without a scratch.
Oh, that's great. Oh my gosh, dude, that had to hurt. For sure.
But he's alive. Wait till you hear the little follow-up.
Yep.
It's very interesting.
Again, the prompt here is, the suit this man is wearing was designed to withstand an attack from what animal? Yanni, you know this one?
Yes.
Randall, you know this one. Cal, you know this one?
No? Yes, sir.
Okay. Brody, you know this one? Who has seen this documentary? Randall, Cal, and Brody. Okay. Is everybody ready? Go ahead and reveal your answers. We have Christine saying grizzly, Chester saying grizzly, Brody saying grizzly, grizzly, grizzly. Everybody said grizzly bear, and everybody got it right. Well done.
I had no idea, but...
That man was Troy Hurtubise, and he was filming the documentary Project Grizzly. His goal was to make a grizzly-proof suit, which he modeled after RoboCop and spent $150,000 building. Hurtubise doesn't test it on a bear in the film, but did get a chance 5 years later when he locked himself in a cage with a grizzly. The bear was actually too scared to attack, bringing him to the conclusion that the suit needed to look more human.
Well, didn't he try to get attacked by a bear, but he wasn't mobile enough to get into places where bears were?
Yeah, so I think his biggest issue was they went to the Rockies in October to try to find a bear to attack him, and they never found a bear. So
wasn't his inspiration for building the suit the fact that he had gotten attacked by a bear?
It was that he wanted to study them. He wanted to study them up close, and so that was the whole deal with the suit.
And then he couldn't get one to attack.
Couldn't get one to attack.
But he had one scary night in a tent that's written about in Night of the Grizzly, where he has a .22 on him, and he fills his tent full of .22 holes, or perforates his tent, rather.
And who hasn't done that?
The whole point of the documentary thing is like, he believed that this was a very serious documentary that was being made about him. Yeah. And I don't think the people who are filming it felt the same way.
No, he was very upset that he was made to look like the silly Canadian who built the RoboCop suit to get attacked.
Like, that was like abstinence. Just don't go outside.
That was his whole shtick as an inventor. Like, he wanted to invent a suit that he begged them to drop him in the middle of Afghanistan during the war, and was like, just let me do it. Like, my ass is on the line, and I want to prove to you how, you know, war-proof this suit is that he built. And I think he went bankrupt multiple times with these crazy inventions.
Sounds fun, though.
Question 8. The topic is biology. This next great question comes to us via Kelsey Blaha. If you have a question you think is right for Meat Eater Trivia, you can send it to trivia@themeateater.com.
It'd be fun to drive that truck.
What?
Right? That'd be scarier.
That's your takeaway from that?
What continent is the Venus flytrap native to? Again, the topic is biology. What continent is the Venus flytrap native to? Randall, you look the most confident, but not even very confident. Are you going to get this one right?
How many are there to choose from?
Siete.
Still 7.
Okay. Again, what continent is the Venus flytrap native to?
My mom bought me one of these when I was a kid.
How'd that go?
And I think we were in Billings at the time. So. Oh, they're sweet, man. They're super cool.
Brody, how we doing?
I haven't written anything down yet.
This is question 8. We will get a scoreboard update from Phil after this. Is everybody ready? Go ahead and reveal your answer. We have Christine saying South America. Chester saying South America. Brody saying South America. Hillary saying South America. Cal and Randall saying South America. Giannis saying North America.
Because we have pitcher plants and fly traps in Florida, correct?
The correct answer is North America.
Wow. Yeah.
Woo. Wow.
Most don't realize that the exotic-looking Venus flytrap is actually native to North America. Although they're cultivated around the world, their native range is just a small area in North and South Carolina. The plants are heavily protected, and in 2014, it became a felony to poach them. Oh. Their populations have been in decline due to habitat loss and fire suppression.
So for some reason,
once again,
they were
that
invasive.
North Carolina connection comes through.
So you knew that one for certain.
I've seen them in the wild. And
really?
And so I just thought that probably I was right.
It's amazing. Yeah. I love that they're native to North America.
Do you still
have
all your fingers?
Mm-hmm.
Phil, we have 2 questions left. Where does the scoreboard stand?
It's a pretty good game. I think, okay, so Hillary and Christine are the only 2 who are technically out.
No.
But please continue to play. Then we have Chester with 4 points, Brody and Giannis with 5, and Cal and Randall are tied up with 6 points in first place.
How many questions are left?
2 questions left. Question 9.
I'm going to take a big swing here.
The topic is cooking. Southern Living declared this the official sandwich of Louisiana, which can be made with red meat, white meat, or seafood.
That ain't going to change anything.
Southern Living declared this the official sandwich of Louisiana, which can be made with red meat, white meat, or seafood.
Hillary, if you beat Christine, are you going to say feel the burn?
I already have.
Flex over.
Confident room, except for Yanni and Christine.
My track coach called me burner.
Really? Mm-hmm. Sweet. That's great. Different connotations as you get older.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Or
especially
depending on the circle.
Especially where marijuana's legal. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yanni, how we doing over here?
I'm going to go with my gut.
Everybody ready? Go ahead and reveal your answers. We have Christine without an answer. The rest of the room said po' boy, and they got it right. The correct answer was po' boy. The po' boy sandwich was invented in Louisiana in the 1920s. The original version was made with fried potatoes and sliced roast beef, but other iterations use chicken, shrimp, oysters, and more.
Crawfish.
If you want to learn how to make one, then go to themeateater.com and check out our recipe called catfish po' boy.
Phil, how are we doing on the scores?
Thank you, Cal.
You going to take that, Spencer?
That's it. I'm perfectly happy with it.
All right. Well, Now it's Randall and Cal still in first place with 7 points, and Giannis and Brody have 6.
Oh, so we're still playing.
Still in the game.
A good chance they at a tiebreaker. Question 10. The topic is conservation.
Oh.
Game wardens from 2 states are the focus of Animal Planet's show Northwoods Law. Name one of those states.
That ain't going to change anything.
Game wardens from 2 states are the focus of Animal Planet's show Northwoods Law. Name one of those states. Brody, you're very confident in your answer.
Have you seen this show?
No, but I'm like, listen.
You're just going by Northwoods.
The category is television.
Conservation.
Television.
Same thing. Randall, do
you
have this one right?
Why are you so confident?
Yes, I think so.
Cal, do you have this one right?
No brainer.
I have no idea. I've never seen the show, but I am aware of several states where these shows have been filmed. Mm-hmm.
Tell me the question again.
Here's the question again. Game wardens from 2 states are the focus of Animal Planet's show Northwoods Law. Name one of those states.
Randall has seen several films on the subject.
I know what episodes. I know what episodes of Northwoods Law.
I know what it
so
used
you've
to
watched
be.
The show, Randall.
It's the same.
Yeah, not. I mean, not recently. It's not a favorite.
Yanni, how do you feel about your answer?
Producers.
Educated guess, Spencer.
Is everybody ready? Go ahead and reveal your answers. We have Christine saying Texas, Chester saying Montana, Brody saying Maine, Hillary saying Montana, Cal saying Maine, Randall saying Maine, Giannis saying Maine. The 2 states are New Hampshire and Maine, which means we're going to a tiebreaker. Cal and Randall are tied at 8 points apiece.
So they used to have it with a lot of Montana game wardens.
Well, no, that's a different show. That's on the Outdoor Network. I believe it's called Wardens, which is in Montana. Yeah, and then there's
Troopers up in Alaska, right? Mm-hmm.
It's like Alaska State Troopers. Yeah. And that's beyond the scope of just hunting and fishing violations. But yeah, it's a similar concept.
They like their methods.
When I went out to Shiloh Pond for our land access initiative, I met with a warden out there who was featured on Northwoods Law. Or
were you featured on the show?
No, you can only see my hands and my back.
Northwoods Law started in 2012 and completed its 16th season in 2021. The beginning of the series focuses on Maine, while the latter half is shot in New Hampshire. It also inspired a spinoff show called Lone Star Law, which was filmed in Texas from 2016 to 2020.
I wonder, do those fish and game departments get compensated for doing those shows? Like, you'd think they would have to.
I bet they would have to somehow.
Yeah.
We're on to our tiebreaker. Play the tiebreaker drop, Phil.
Tiebreaker.
If you ain't first, you're last.
I think just cut it at if you ain't first, you're last, and then, like, go into other stuff that's funny. I never liked it. Hey, Phil, f*** off, man.
Are we, did the communist rule get tossed out?
So here's what we determined we're going to do. Everyone in the room should still play along. And if somebody hits it right on the nose, we will add an extra $100 donation at the end of the show. Here's the question again.
Why would you not play?
We're down to Cal and Randall. The topic is fishing. This will be a numerical question. Whoever is closest between the two will be declared the winner.
I've gotten 0%. Of name this fishing lure questions.
What percentage of IGFA records have been caught by women?
Who?
What percentage
multiple choice,
of
right?
IGFA records have been caught by women?
Decimal point?
Go to a decimal point. What percentage of IGFA records have been caught by women? Again, we're down to Cal and Randall. The rest of the room is going to play along to see if we can add an extra $100 to this donation.
Boy, this is a real
one decimal,
real PR issue right here. Public relations issue.
What's the problem, Cal?
Well, I mean, I'm gonna be like, oh, 98%. I've known many damn fine female anglers out there.
I notice you have yet to come up with an answer, less than Cal. That. Randall, how do you
They're
feel about yours?
They're not into the pomp of
Randall, are you covering your answer from right. Cal? It's
no.
quite visible there.
Yeah. No, neither of them have anything written down
We're both
yet.
Thinking in our own separate ways.
If neither of us answer,
I refuse to run.
Can we get another question?
What percentage of IGFA records have been caught by women?
They don't have gender-specific cat, like a men's large mouth and a women's large mouth.
Not giving any hints about this question. It's what percentage of IGFA records have been caught by women?
Well, how up to date is this? Because I just saw something with a lady with a giant bass in Texas today.
You think that might sway it?
New world record, potential new world record lake trout got caught in Colorado.
Yeah, but that was a guy.
Ago.
So I guess those two. So that each it balances out.
Out.
So
these two players have still not came up with an answer.
Math.
Randall, how we doing?
Randall thinks it's a trick question.
No, I just.
I don't even know where to start.
Does anybody know how to
start with a number between 1 and 100?
What's today's date?
Good question.
Cal, how's your answer?
I wrote one down.
Okay.
Yeah. Based off of what I know meat eaters' metrics are.
Randall, do you have an answer?
Yes.
Go ahead and reveal your answers. We have Christine saying 3%. Chester saying 22.7%. Brody saying 9.4%. Hillary saying 23.3%. Giannis saying 10.1%. And the two competitors left, we have Cal saying 11.5%. Randall saying 29.8%. One of you is within one percentage point of the correct answer. The winner is Randall. The correct answer was 29%.
God, you have no idea how much that means to me.
That number is in alignment with what you'd expect, given that about 31% of anglers are women. That's just a 2% difference between their representation on the water and in the record book.
I was at a conservation fundraiser deal last weekend, and a fella came up to me and was like, "You got to start doing better at trivia." And I said, "Man, you just don't understand that there's people in the room who have a noticeable, palpable, physical need to win."
Who are
and
those
I
people?
I am not one of those people.
Who are those people, Cal?
Well, they reveal themselves from.
Come on, Cal.
Time to time.
Steve, Brody, and Randall.
Okay. Thank you, Chester. Randall, you get to choose where the $500 donation goes. So what's it going to be?
How about the Land Access Initiative?
Okay, we haven't given to them in a while.
Yeah.
Cal, how is the LAI doing in 2023?
We still got some cash in the pot, which is sweet. And there's plenty of projects. So also have access to a bunch of matching funds, which is really interesting. So
it's great.
So we can turn our 70 into 140 or a couple million, probably.
Projects in Maine and Montana so far. We'll have a third project, at the end of this year, beginning of next year?
Yeah.
More on that soon. Join us next time for more Meat Eater Trivia, the only game show where conservation always wins.
Thanks, Spencer.
Woohoo!
Good game, Randall.
Hey guys, turkey season is in full swing right now, and if you are planning on getting after it, make sure to pick up some Meat Eater Phelps turkey calls to stuff into the old turkey vest or into your fanny pack right now. I carry a few different things. I like to use mouth calls, and I like to use pot calls. Mouth calls or diaphragms, I like them because it gives you hand-free calling, meaning when you're working a bird up close, you can have your gun on your knee, finger on the trigger, ready to roll, and still be making turkey sounds. I like pot calls. I just like pot calls. I enjoy calling with a pot call. Whatever direction you go, including a box call, which I don't personally use too much, but they're fun and great, and I started out with them. Yanni, on the other hand, one of my main turkey hunting buddies. He loves box calls. And what's funny is I'll now and then look to him and give him the look that means get out your box call and find us a turkey. So it's not that I don't like him. I just have Yanni use his. Then I don't have to carry it. Go to Phelps Game Calls. Get calls that are made in the USA and get calls that'll get them close. Find yours at PhelpsGameCalls.com today.